You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
In the fall of 2013, Gary Temple Bodley began channeling a group of non-physical teachers known as Joshua. Soon thereafter, Joshua asked Gary to start writing. They have since produced 4 books and answered hundreds of questions in written form. In the spring of 2016, on the Law of Attraction cruise, Gary underwent hypnosis and Joshua spoke through him for the first time. Since that time, Gary has been practicing channeling Joshua verbally in live weekly calls with one-on-one students. These Joshua calls are now available to those of you joining us on the Leading Edge of Thought. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is Joshua Live. We're thrilled you're here.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Joshua Live. I'm Gary Temple Bodley. Today, we have a special episode. It's a one-on-one we did with someone who wants to remain anonymous. And in this episode, Joshua talks to this person about how to deal with family members who are living in fear. And I think this is something that a lot of us have. We are moving to a new level of awareness, and yet those around us are still stuck in the old fears of normal everyday life. Well, it's not that we want to change them, of course. We want to be able to love them where they are and accept them where they are. And as we do this, we'll actually help them move to their own level of awareness if they choose to, but we don't need to really interfere with them, nor can we create their reality. So we just have to accept them where they are, and I think Joshua explains this perfectly in today's episode. So I think you'll all enjoy that one. If you would like to leave a review for this podcast on iTunes, I've left a link in the description below, and it details how you can do that. Of course, we appreciate you when you share this with your friends, and don't push past the fear and do that. It took me a long time before I was able to share Joshua with my friends because I thought channeling was weird. But as soon as I did, I got just fantastic feedback, and my friends and family all were really into it. So it was a fear that was obviously irrational, and once I pushed past it, I saw how irrational it was. So I think you'll do the same thing. Thanks again for being here, and I hope you enjoy the show. Goodbye. We are thrilled to be here.
Thank you.
Do you see what that adventure that you had led you to? It led you to a new awareness of who you are, a new awareness of how this reality works, a new awareness of what's possible for you, insights into your loving nature, into the truth of who you are. Of course, it brought up fear, brought up limiting beliefs, but you can see that all from a different perspective now. As you settle back into the routine of your home and what's going on there and what's ahead for you in your future and your relationship with your husband and all the attachments that you might have to family and the past and all that other stuff, you are on a precipice of a new journey for you. And is that exciting to you or is that scary to you? Well, that's up to you to decide. But we will explain to you that this is all part of your journey of self-discovery, and that you would not have changed any part of it. Now, from your limited perspective, you wish things were different than they are, but from the higher perspective, you must know that everything is working out perfectly. And what you intended to live in this lifetime is being granted to you by all those who are supporting you and who rally around you and your inner self and source itself and your guides and supporters and your ancestors and all of the energies of the non-physical, walking with you every step of the way, supporting you whenever you need it, guiding you, giving you inspiration, giving you thoughts that you can resonate with, bringing you new information that will help when you're ready for it, easing you from the non-physical side so that you can make this journey of self-discovery as you intended, because you're a powerful explorer. You have to realize how powerful you are. You did not make it here by accident. This was all part of your pre-birth intention. And all of the things that happened in your life were designed to get you here. And now that you're here, well, what's possible for you? And with that, we'd like to talk to you about anything you'd like to talk about. Where would you like to start?
Well, so yesterday when I made the decision to talk to you, I was really confused about my whole life. And then I decided perhaps I won't talk to you about the biggest confusion, which is my life with my husband, and it's too painful. So I thought maybe I'd shift focus and talk about another family member. Not that that's any better, but I can start my journey on understanding that relationship. So it's with my older sister, who's about 4 years older than me. And I don't have a good relationship with her. And since childhood, and I don't understand why she is always after me and wants to control me, boss me around, and not help me in any way when I am deeply sick. But and I actually sense she gets satisfaction when I am physically ill and suffering.
Excellent. She came to play a role. That's all it is. She played that role perfectly in your childhood. That's all that is. If you want to attach to that interaction, needing to be controlled, then you can give in to her and let her control you. But that's all she came to do, was to give you a form of experience that led you to believe that you were the victim of other people's demands, that you are not in control of your life, but are a pawn to be controlled by others. This was a valuable experience. And most humans go through this experience to some extent. You no longer need this experience because it created such desire to move away from the control and into your personal freedom that led you to all the teachings that you've been gravitating to your whole life. So that role of her is not necessary unless you choose it to be necessary. Do you want to be reminded that others want to control you, or do you want to break free of your need to be subservient or live within her needing to control you? Or do you just give it up? I am not to be controlled. I am free. I am going to do whatever I'm going to do, and I don't care what you think. If you want to interact with me on a pleasant level, we will do that. If not, I have nothing to do with you. Your role as teacher is now over. And if you would like to be friends, we can be friends, but that's completely up to you. I will no longer change any aspect of who I am to be complacent to your desire to control me. You do not need to love me, you can say to your sister. That is not possible anyway. You have no idea who I am. You think you know me, but you do not. I am the creator of my reality. And in the non-physical, we are best friends. But we came to play these roles so that you could know what it's like to try to control and not be successful. And I could know what it's like to be controlled and to not give into that. Now that that game has been played, I am not participating any longer. And the moment you try to control me, I am off the phone. I am out of the room. That's it. I am not to be controlled by anyone, especially you. Thank you for coming and teaching me that. This relationship to that teaching is now completed. And if you would like to go on to another dynamic where we are supportive of each other, that's fine. And if you don't want to do that, that's fine too. So that's all you need to deal with her. Now, you say from your limited perspective that that's my sister and we should have a loving relationship. This is not the case in that relationship. So let it go.
Let it go, meaning we can never have a loving relationship?
You can have a loving relationship with her. You can be supportive of her. You can stand in your own power with her. You can be authentic with her, but you do not need her to change how she's being with you. You will not stand by and be controlled, and this may irritate her, but that's the end of that relationship. And if she wants to join you in love, then you will accept that. But if she still wants to control you, you're not playing that game anymore. You have never been in love. You have never had true love. It's always been this dynamic of trying to assert yourself under her thumb.
You mean I've never had true love with her?
Yes.
My sister?
Not in the sense that true love is pure acceptance of her and yourself in a dynamic where she can be who she is and you can be who you are authentically yourselves. You have not engaged in that. That wasn't the purpose of this relationship. In past relationships, sure, you've explored that a lot. In this relationship, you came in so that she could serve you in your trajectory towards understanding who you truly are. You cannot understand who you are as a victim to her. You can only understand who you are in your own authority, in your own sovereignty, in relationship to her. So you cannot no longer play that game. Now, she's going to resist it because she doesn't know any better. She is stuck in that role until you opt out. Once you opt out, then she has a choice to make. Can she accept you as you are or can she not? That's her choice to make. You have no power over that. You cannot create her reality. You must accept that this is what it is. You might wish for something else, but that wishing is still acting as a victim. What you want to do is rise above that and see that she came to this reality to serve a purpose. One of those purposes is to make you feel like a victim that would birth desires for you to get out of that victim mentality, which you are on your way to doing right now.
Okay. Well, she lives just a few miles away from me and I like her children.
Excellent. Interact with the children. But you must stand in your sovereignty, otherwise you will revert into that role, and that role is past. It's no longer serving you any benefit whatsoever. You have overcome that already. You know too much now. So yes, you can go there and she can attempt to control you and you can be drawn into that, or you can stand up for yourself. Either way, if she gets upset because you're not no longer being acquiescing to her demands, you can say, I came here to play with the children. I came here to have a nice conversation with you. If you're not going to have a nice conversation, then I'm out.
Like I can directly say just that?
Absolutely. You can directly say whatever you're inspired to say in the moment. Now, the fear is that she will get upset and she will want to fight. But what's the difference? If you don't stand up to her, you're going to be in a relationship that doesn't serve you.
Okay, so I have changed towards her in the last 1 year where I did stand up for myself finally. And but the thing is, like, her relationship with me is affecting other people in my family. Like, it especially upsets my father. Why can't you cook it along?
That's up to them. That has nothing to do with you. You are not here to control any of it. You are here to let them have their experience.
Okay. Okay. And, okay, I have to work on that. So then I have a younger sister. I have a much better relationship with her. She's very cute and sweet, and I've always loved her. She's always loved me. I know that. She lives out of the country, is coming into town in a couple of weeks, and we will get to see each other for as long as she's here, maybe a month or more. And I want to make the best of it with her. And what bothers me about our relationship is she tends to use me, and I wouldn't mind it if she would just be upfront, except it's cloaked in a innocent manner or deceptive manner, and that attitude has started to bother me.
And so why don't you get ahead of this and just give her everything before she even asks? Just give her pure everything that you can. Here, how about, do you like any of my clothes? Do you want to go shopping? Do you need any money? What do you need? What can I give you? Let's cook. Let's go out. Let me take you out to dinner. Let's go ahead and do this. Just be completely different than you've ever been. Just be absolutely accepting of her and her need to cloak her requests in some other form, because she doesn't have the authority herself to ask for what she wants.
She doesn't have the authority to ask.
She cannot stand up in her own authority and say, I would like you to pay for this or give me that or have me do this. Just as you said, if she had come forward in honesty and asked you for these things, you would say, sure. But you want her to do it in a way that's different than she does it. That is controlling. That's based in fear. You love her. Everything you have is hers. Everything that you can give her, you would give her. But you just want her to ask it in a way so that you can feel appreciated for it. Why don't you just give all that up and just go out in front of it, lean into it, and just give and give and give and give and not ask for anything in return, not transactional whatsoever. I am here to absolutely love you in the way that I'm inspired to, and I don't need love from you. I don't need you to be any different than you are. Because imagine her. Imagine her with two older sisters. Is she the youngest of the family? The experience of that, living in a different country, maybe not having access to the things you have access to or the experiences that you've had, maybe feeling sort of like left behind, whatever that is. She chose it, of course, but she is coming from another place that you can't really perceive. And so she does what she is able to do. And that's all she can do. If you can see that with love, then you can step in front of it and just give.
Okay. I offered her to her family, they can stay in my house when they arrive in this country. But she said, oh, but they have to quarantine for 1 week. And I'm going to be in this house, but I don't really care, but they seem to. Should I still insist or?
No, let it- whatever they say. So you can quarantine here, whatever you like. Are they afraid to be in the same house with you? Are they in fear?
I don't think they're in fear of COVID. I think they just don't want to violate the rule of having to quarantine for 1 week.
Yeah, you say you'll quarantine here and I'll bring you the food and do the shopping, whatever you need to do. And it'll be a very comfortable place. And don't worry, they're not tracking anyone down. They're not paying attention to any of this. It's very easy here in wherever you live in America.
So it's okay if I stay in this house with them?
Absolutely.
We can mingle.
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay, so that was easier to understand than my elder sister's situation. That's the first one is kind of very harsh.
Well, we'd like to add one thing. It's only harsh from a limited perspective. From the higher perspective, imagine that you and her are eternally linked as soulmates and that you've gone through many lives together in many different relationships and that you both chose to come into this reality to serve each other. And she has served you perfectly so that you could have the soul experience of being controlled, which cannot be possible in the non-physical. So she came to serve her role. Now that you have chosen and decided for yourself that you will no longer be controlled, that you will become your authentic self in love, you can look at her while she's trying to control you and be thankful. That's your choice of perspective. You can do that. You can do it right now. You must, though, stand up for who you are. You cannot fall back into being controlled or feeling controlled or feeling upset that she's trying to control you. You see, that's from fear. In being upset that she's trying to control you, you're acting out of fear. In being spectacularly thankful that she's trying to control you, you're acting as who you truly are in love. Thank you for trying to control me. I no longer need this. This is over with. This is who I am now. Accept this or not, it doesn't matter. I am coming here to be with the children, to be with you. I am not playing this game anymore.
I thought there may have been some kind of a childhood history that pushed her into doing that needs to be resolved. Like we were close.
No, nothing needs to be resolved. You resolve you and let her be as she is. Okay. You cannot resolve whatever it is for her. She does not need it to be resolved. She is still exploring that dynamic. You see, every day you turn a day older, could be when you were 4 years old or 10 years old or 20 years old or whatever age you are now, she gets a new chance to be this controlling aspect in your life, as long as you allow it. Once you stop allowing it, well, maybe she'll turn to someone else.
Uh-huh. Okay, okay. All right. Okay, so now regarding my health, I've gained weight and I would like to lose it, and I enjoy running. But because of my past illnesses, I lost my capacity to run. And I've given attempts over the years to run, but within seconds, my heart starts to burn badly. And I have no capacity to continue running. But it's a fun, cool activity for me.
Walk?
I can walk.
Walk. That's all you have to do is walk. You don't have to do anything more than walk.
So I walk. I told myself, well, it's okay. I can't run, so I'll walk. So I have been doing that, but it's not doing anything for weight loss. And my goal is to lose some weight.
Excellent. Walk. Walk. Feel good. When you feel good enough, maybe you'll run a half a block and then walk. And when you feel a little better, maybe you'll run a block and then walk. And don't do anything that doesn't feel good. Just let it feel good. And don't try to lose any weight. Just feel good.
Okay. But I used to love running.
And you'll love running again. Okay. But start by walking.
Okay, okay, okay. Okay. And another thing regarding my health is bloating of the stomach. And actually, you have answered this question because I wrote it out for you to answer. So it's up there in the question answer. And you said it's because I feel like I'm a flawed human being, and thus my body is just showing me how I feel. So that question was answered several months ago, and I have learned so much about myself. Even before I met you, I was learning about my self-worth, but the bloating never seems to go away.
Good. And do you see the bloating is perfect?
Well, it bothers me, so thus I'm not able to see it as perfect.
Good. So it is showing you that you're still perceiving yourself as flawed, and that's okay, because the rest of you is perfect. So you focusing on the rest of you, your beautiful hair, your beautiful eyebrows, your beautiful eyes, your beautiful nose, your beautiful lips. Are you seeing the rest of you as perfect? Your beautiful hands, your beautiful feet, all your beautiful ears, your beautiful scalp, your beautiful skin, all these things as perfect. Are you seeing everything else as perfect?
I wasn't. And then I realized, one day I realized, oh my God, I just judge every single thing about my body. Every single piece of my body I have judged like crazy.
Because if it was different than it was, you feel as if you wouldn't consider yourself to be flawed. And it's the consideration that you're flawed that brings up negative emotion, because your inner self knows you're perfect. And this physical body is just a suit you are wearing that allows you to move around physical reality. And it allows you to do that. You can move anywhere you want in the world with that body. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It's not going to bring you any more joy if it looks different. It's all up to you to choose your perception of it. And you could take one thing and focus on that and see how perfect that is. The thing that you like the most. And then you can add in another thing later and another thing later and another thing later. And if you continue to judge your body, that's fine too. There's not a human being on this planet that doesn't judge some part of their body.
Okay. Well, it's just that it affects my eating, because I I feel full very quickly, and then my stomach gets really big and it's uncomfortable.
Yes. Would you prefer that you kept eating and eating and eating and didn't feel full? What would happen if that happened?
Different problems.
Well, you would gain even more weight.
Oh.
You want to slim down. You don't want to gain more weight. So be thankful you feel full quickly. Many people would wish to have this issue.
Okay, so even if I eat a little bit, it bloats, and it's just irritating. I like food.
Excellent. We'll go a little bit without having so much food. Let it be what it is. It's the absolute acceptance of what is. The absolute acceptance of what is will bring you everything you want. Everything. Will bring you everything you think you want and everything you truly want. With the absolute acceptance, oh, look at this. Right now, I'm eating just a little bit. And I feel bloated, so I can't eat more. Where is this going to lead? Who knows? Let's see what happens. I'll eat in the future. It's okay. I ate in the past. It's okay. Right now, what is happening is perfect. So let's enjoy what is happening.
Okay.
So when are you going to come to the source of all this? What is the source of all this resistance?
In my bloating?
In every part of your resistance to everything. To your older sister, to your younger sister, to your parents, to your physical body. What's the source of all this discontentment?
I'm not happy.
Because why?
I'm imperfect.
Because you're imperfect, or because you're perfect but can't see it?
Well, from all my spiritual teachings, they teach me that with my imperfections, I am perfect.
But there are no imperfections. It's just a perspective that causes you to compare yourself to some imaginary ideal that does not exist and say, if this ideal existed, then I would be happy. If the conditions outside of me changed, then I would be happy. If the world around me changed, if my sister changed, if my other sister changed, if my parents changed, if my husband changed, if my body changed, then I would be happy. Mm-hmm. What's the reality? The reality is the conditions cannot make you feel anything. It's your choice to perceive them as good or bad. If you perceive them as good, you will feel good. If you perceive them as bad, you will feel bad. You are perceiving things as bad and wrong. When you give up perceiving things as bad and wrong, everything will be right. The outside conditions are perfect as they are. That includes everyone you know, all the conditions, including your body, and you yourself. It's all perfect. You're choosing to pick out the flaws. Pick out the flaw, pick out the flaw, pick out the flaw, pick out the flaw. You're choosing a perception of reality based in flaws. That's the illusion. You're believing the illusion. You could choose a higher perception of reality, a higher perspective, and pick out all the things that are perfect. Is the painting behind you perfect? Is the room you're in perfect? Are there any flaws in that room? Is this moment you're spending speaking to us perfect? Is the next moment you go into perfect? Is the next moment perfect?
Yeah.
Well, what's imperfect then is just your perception that things could be better if they were different. This is the illusion. As you just pointed out, everything is perfect in this moment. There are no flaws. You can spend time speaking to us in this body that you have, with these relatives you have, with the husband that you have. You have everything you need to engage with us in this time that we have together. It's perfect. Well, that's the truth of every single moment of your life. Now, you're with your husband. He seems to be behaving erratically. You say, if he was only different than he was, I'd feel better. That's you trying to control him, just like your older sister tries to control you. Exactly the same thing. It is not based in love. It's based in fear. Your older sister thinks, if you were different than you were, she could love you. And you will never be that version, because that version does not exist. It exists in her mind, and that's all. The version of your husband that you think you could love does not exist. It exists in your mind, and you're comparing the two. You see?
So that's a very interesting thing you say, that I have a version of my husband in my mind. But I mean, I accept what you're saying. It's just that's not something I see. I never realized I had a version of him in my mind. I always thought I was continually trying to understand him.
When you say understand him, you mean change him. If I understood him, then I could accept him. And if I could accept him, then he would be the version that I could accept.
Okay. Well, he did so many things, like I could not intellectually or emotionally grasp it. Like it would confuse me. And I think it's beneficial for me to be able to understand the other person, especially someone as important as a husband.
Well, we understand that you have this desire that you think is admirable, to understand someone else, but that is absolutely impossible. Because you cannot know anyone else, because you can only see from your perspective. You cannot know what they're thinking, what their pre-birth intentions were, what their man-made desires are, what they think of themselves, the amount of thoughts that are coming to them all the time, the amount of fear-based thoughts or the amount of love-based thoughts. You cannot know that. All you see is your cartoon version of them that's fabricated in your mind based on your set of beliefs, limiting and empowering. So for the good aspects of him, from your perspective, no one else's perspective, from your perspective, you say, that's good, that's good, that's good, that's good, because those qualities resonate with your empowering beliefs. Everything you think is wrong with him are just triggering your limiting beliefs. If you were the source and you looked at him, you could not see anything other than perfection. When we look at you, we cannot see anything other than perfection. It's not possible. Your limiting beliefs cause you to perceive that if certain features were altered, then he would represent the ideal. And the ideal would make you feel good. So if you could change him to the ideal, if your sister could change you to the ideal, if your sister could change you to the ideal, she perceives it would make her feel good. Uh-huh. But that's not true. Because all she's doing is manipulating conditions, and that can't make you feel anything. The only thing that will make her feel good is if she accepts you as you are, which means she'd have to process all these limiting beliefs that cause her to perceive that you're imperfect. When you choose to see the perfection in all of him, then he will feel good to you. But that's only because you're choosing it, you see. Mm-hmm. Now, choose to see him as perfect, choose to see your older sister as perfect, choose to see your little sister as perfect, choose to see your parents as perfect, and they represent perfection to you, and you can feel good in their presence. But none of this works until you see yourself as perfect, because they're all representing aspects of you. Your sister's representing the aspect of control from your perspective. Your husband represents the possibility of chaos and insecurity from your perspective. Your little sister represents your deception from your perspective. And your parents represent whatever they represent from your perspective, all reflections of how you see yourself as imperfect. Now, if you saw yourself as perfect, you couldn't see the imperfections in them. If you saw yourself as a little bit more perfect today than yesterday, you would see all of them as a little more perfect today than yesterday. It all starts and ends with your perception of self, your love for self, your acceptance of self. Love and acceptance are the same things. Can you accept that you're perfect on this date, in this time, at this place, in this moment where you're talking to us? You can. And in that, you gain great clarity and you bring forth information that will be of benefit to you and to anyone else who's in your reality. It all starts and ends with you. So this perception of reality as if others have control over you, as if the conditions have control over you, and as if you have to control yourself, your body, in order to feel good, it's all stemming from this sense of control. And that control can only come from the perception of yourself as a victim. That's what you've been exploring up to this moment. You are the creator of your reality. You are the creator of all of this. You are the creator. You can't be the victim. You can only perceive that you're the victim. And that perception is a perceptive choice. Because if you came in knowing you were the creator without any limiting beliefs, this life would serve no purpose. So up until this point of this date, of your age, of your life that you've existed exploring victimhood, perceiving that others, outside conditions, and even your own self must control all of it. Because without control, you are insecure, unsafe, whatever it is. The truth is, that was never true. You've always been perfect. They've always been perfect. You've always had everything you need to explore this reality as you intended to it. Everything is working out perfectly. And you were brought to this conversation to be told that you are perfect, but you have chosen to perceive imperfection in order to grow and expand. Now, from this point on, you can choose victimhood for the rest of your life. Well, you can. That's a perfectly acceptable and valid choice. And you will gain from that as you explore the inauthentic version of you through the rest of this life, through the rest of the next life, through the rest of the next life, through the rest of eternal lives, always experiencing some different aspect of victimhood. Or you can stop that, shut it off, create something new right now. Stop the momentum of victimhood that has led through every life you've ever lived to this point right now, and realize once and for all that you have sovereignty over your experience because you are the creator of all of this.
Okay.
The primary belief of the creator is this: everything is right. There is no wrong anywhere in the universe. That is the belief that you are moving towards. And when you perceive something is wrong, yourself, a person, or the conditions, notice that you are not believing the primary belief, the primary empowering belief that everything is right, there is no wrong anywhere in the universe. As the creator, this is the only belief that you can have. Everything is perfect. Everything is always working out perfectly. Everything is right. There is no wrong anywhere in the universe. Let that be your guiding principle in everything you do, and you will break the cycle of victimhood.
Okay, so one question, when you said these people, my sisters, my husband, parents, they represent aspects of myself, for example, my younger sister and her deception. She's just showing to me my own deception?
Yes.
How I behave?
How are you deceiving yourself?
How am I deceiving myself?
How are you not standing up for what you want? Think of the relationship. Think of the thing that you think about your little sister. If she would just stand up for what she wants, if she was just to ask for what she wants, you would give it to her.
So she's like, she's just showing me how I am. If only I stood up for myself and asked for what I wanted,
you would receive it. And why don't you do that? Why don't you stand up for yourself with your older sister? I want to be respected as I am. I want you to accept me as I am. I am good enough. I am worthy of your love. I love you. I don't want you to control me. I want you to see me for who I am, not to ask me to be different than I am. Why can't you do that?
Like, say those words to her?
Or yes.
Think about it.
Either way.
Like, ask for that in my mind.
Ask for it in front of her. Ask her for that. I want to be treated this way. Why can't you treat me this way? This is what I want. Just like your little sister. She cannot ask you for what she wants. She has to go around in circles and circles and circles. You would give it to her if she would just ask you. Your older sister would give it to you if you would stop being so deceptive. Your parents would give it to you if you would stop being so deceptive. The world, the universe would give it to you if you would just ask for what you wanted. Why don't you ask for what you want? Because you deem that you're unworthy of it, as do all humans.
Okay. And then the chaos bit, you said my husband represents chaos, my own chaos?
Yes. You are in no, you have no control over your life. You perceive that you have no control, that he is responsible for all the security in your life and all the money and all whatever it is that you need, or your parents or all this stuff, that you are not the creator of all this. And that if he can't be the responsible one, being clear-headed, being reasonable, being proactive, seeing things clearly, then how can you?
Okay.
Every single thing you think about him is what you think about yourself.
Okay. Well, that's a big one, because like with my husband, he is going through something that is also big for him. And I have tried to implement all my teachings, especially from you. I tried very hard not to control, not to tell him what to do. But it was dramatically, intensely hard to watch and be quiet. So I finally left when I got the clarity that my absence, my actual absence, would actually help him improve. But I'm kind of lost.
Did it help him?
Me being there?
Did it help him? Did your absence help him? This is the clarity you received, that your absence would help him improve.
So I've been gone for 2 days. He's okay so far. I got the inspiration to tell him to go see a psychologist. He took my advice and did it on his own. And the feedback he gave me about the psychologist was actually quite positive. I thought, oh, wow. My husband's on the right track.
Good.
He found a good psychologist.
Good. So what did you do there? You received inspiration. You felt the fear that popped up when the inspiration came. And you pushed past the fear and returned home.
Yeah. Returned home.
And now you are here. And now, what are you going to do? You were able to stand back, to reduce your urges to control the conditions as much as you could. You found that very difficult, but you moved to a new expanded place by simply the concept of not trying to control or change him. Now, you cannot leave yourself. You're going to bring yourself pretty much everywhere you go. So, can you step back from trying to control yourself?
I would like to step back from trying to control myself.
Excellent. So, when you receive a limited thought that says something's wrong, what are you going to do?
I'm going to say everything is perfect in the universe.
And you're going to see how it, the thing you're thinking, the okay. subject of your thought, could possibly be right.
How it could be right, okay.
Maybe for someone else, maybe not for you, but it could be right. It could be right that your sister is trying to control you. It could be right that your younger sister is trying to deceive you. It could be right that your husband is having whatever issues he's having. It could be right that your parents are having whatever issues they're having. It could be right that you are feeling bloated. It could be right that you can't run right now. All of this could be right because it could be leading to the discovery of who you truly are.
Okay.
And that's what you want. You want to understand who you truly are. You want to move out of this perception of victimhood and into this possibility that you could actually be the creator of your reality, the source creator of your reality, that you might actually be far more powerful and magnificent and limitless and eternal and good and worthy and creative than you ever thought before. What would that be like? What would it be like to explore not the victim side of who you are not, but the creative side of who you truly are? What would it be like to explore the possible perfection of this entire system, of everything? What would it be like to think of everything from that higher perspective? What would that mean? It would mean that you would receive a lot more inspiration. It would mean that you would feel better more of the time. It would mean that you would be able to process your limiting beliefs and to handle the fear that pops up, trying to keep you small. It would mean that when you're inspired to do something, you will notice the fear but push past it anyway. It would mean that you would think differently about all things. It would mean that you would have to step out of the prison of your mind and to actually explore the free world.
Okay.
On your own, without anyone holding your hand.
Mm-hmm.
Except for your inner self and your millions of guides and supporters and source itself.
But I can still have relationships in my life.
You could have the most loving relationships you've ever experienced. But that starts and ends with you. You cannot ask them to be different. You cannot ask anyone to be different from now on. You must accept them as they are, as perfect, as reflections of who you are. And if you are unconditionally expressing your love to them by accepting them as they are, then guess what happens to the mirror? The mirror must reflect this change in you, which means that they will have to relate to you in an authentic way. But if you try to do it just to control that relationship, that's still control based in fear. You have to actually accept them as they are.
I really want to do that with my husband because...
You really want to do it with yourself. Everything else stems from that. So accept yourself, that you don't need your husband, that it doesn't matter if he's sane or insane, active or inactive, positive or negative, it doesn't matter. It starts and ends with your perception of yourself. Choose to accept yourself above all, and then see what happens. Have an experiment. Don't try to make things better for them. Don't try to help them. Don't try to change any conditions other than the condition of how you feel about yourself. Start and end with that idea. I want to feel good. I want to see all things as good. I want to change my definition of what I once thought is wrong. I want to see how things are working out. I want to count my blessings and appreciate all these things. I want to lean into all my relationships. I want to accept them and accept myself. I don't care any longer what people think of me because they cannot know me. All they can do is reflect back how I think of myself. If they are ornery, it means that I still have a little work to do on how I think about myself. If they are surprisingly joyful or in a good mood, then I know that I'm on the right track.
Okay. Okay, I'll try. Every day I wake up and I want to do something.
Good. Why don't you do it?
And then something happens to me in my chest area that kind of just stops me.
Fear.
But even the littlest things.
Even the littlest thing will come up with fear. We'll explain it this way.
Even brushing my teeth. I'm like, I want to brush my teeth. Stop. I want to go for a walk now. Stop. Well, let me go pick the tomatoes in the garden. Stop. Let me go fear, wash the dishes. Stop.
Fear, fear, fear. You have built a momentum of fear. And so it doesn't take very much fear to stop you because you are not building the momentum of love, which means that when you want to do something, when you want to brush your teeth, pick the tomatoes, do the dishes, fear will always pop up. When you push past that fear, realizing the fear is irrational, I can wash the dishes, I can pick the tomatoes, I can brush my teeth, I can do all these things. All I have to do is do them, push past the fear. As you push past the fear and do whatever you are inspired to do, you expand towards a momentum of courage, a momentum of love. The ability to push past fear will become easier and easier and easier and easier, but you've got to start somewhere. And you've got to do one thing after the other, pushing past fear in that moment, because that moment is always divine. So you wake up, the thought, brush your teeth. Brush your teeth or don't brush your teeth, but if you can push past the fear to do it, boom, check it off. One thing done. What's the next thing? Feel the fear, push past the fear, check it off. Boom, building the momentum of love towards doing everything you're inspired to do. Because you will be inspired to do things beyond your imagination that will bring you great joy and love and satisfaction in every corner of your life, abundance and freedom and all of it. But as the victim perceives that you cannot move past any fear, and only you can change that.
I was never like this before. I never had trouble with brushing my teeth.
Yes. Because you've built a momentum of fear. That's all it is.
Okay.
So imagine that you've always been vibrating at this level. Vibrating at this level. You can do whatever you're inspired to do. And then one day you say, I'm not going to do that thing I'm inspired to do. And so your spiral starts to go downward. And then the next thing you're not inspired to do, you don't do. And you don't do it. And there's more fear, and there's more fear, and there's more fear, and there's more fear, and there's more fear. And now you're spiraling down here in fear and victimhood. And you might feel helpless and hopeless. And there might seem like nothing good is going on in your life. But you're still getting inspiration, aren't you? You're still getting the idea to pick the tomatoes and do the dishes. You're still getting the idea to have your family stay with you. All these inspiring ideas. You're vibrating down here where you're perceiving the illusion of your reality as imperfect from a very limited perspective, and it seems real. And the way to get out of that is to push past one fear after the other. Feel better. Do what you're inspired to do, because everything you're inspired to do, guess what? Makes you feel better. Okay. Brush my teeth. Oh, I brushed my teeth. I feel better. Oh, I went for a walk. I feel better. Oh, I picked the tomatoes. I feel better. Oh, I did the dishes. I feel better. Oh, my family's coming to stay with me. I feel better. Oh, I'm seeing my sister as the loving being that she truly is. I'm feeling better. I'm seeing my other sister as love as well. I'm feeling better. I'm accepting my husband as he is. I'm feeling better. I'm accepting myself as I am. I'm feeling better. And you're spouting back up to the top. Back to where you were when you were 20 years old. Okay. So the momentum of fear is very strong. You must build a momentum of love. And you do that by acting on one inspired idea after the next, refusing to succumb to fear.
All right.
And you will slowly walk your way out of the illusion to a greater sense of self-discovery, to more clarity, which helps you move past more fear. And you're doing it all the time, because the evidence of that is that you're talking with us now. And there was fear when the idea came up, and there was fear when you wrote the email, and there was fear all along the way. And here you are having the conversation that you intended to have. You pushed past all that fear, and you acted on all the inspiration that led you here. And you're very good at that. You're just not used to feeling this level of fear. So that is one step after another out of the valley of fear.
Yeah, I guess that's all my questions.
Excellent. We want you to know that you are unbelievably loved and supported by millions and millions and millions of guides and supporters, by your inner self and by source itself. It is all working out perfectly. It is all leading to the experience of this life that you intended to have, that all of your family and friends, that all of the people in your life are supporting you in the way that you agreed to prior to your birth, that they're all being reflections of you so you can see how you're being in the moment, and that you can choose to be different than that. You can choose to see things from the higher perspective. You can choose to identify with who you truly are. You can choose to walk that path from fear to love. It's all within you, and you're doing a brilliant job. You're doing everything perfectly. There's nothing you need to do differently. Just act on one inspired idea, push past one little fear every single day, and you will be living a life of love within no time. And with that, we are complete.
Thank you so much.
Thank you too.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Joshua Live. If you have a question you would like Joshua to answer on the show, send us a message on Facebook at www.facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua. As always, remember that you are loved more than you can imagine, by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next time.